Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hey fam, it's me doing a little bonus bri for you guys. I thought it would be, I wasn't expecting this, but the idea that I floated, the 75 hard challenge that I discussed on the show, has really taken on a life of its own. There's quite a few people, I mean, many more. And I expected zero. Like I didn't put this out to try to get people to participate. My kind of thinking was that I like to reset myself usually at the beginning of the year. So I always make an attempt at a dry January, and I am successful sometimes. Or at least to an extent, you know, I'll make it like 3 weeks in and then there'll be something, a party or fucking concert or something I want to do. Snowboarding, that's a big one, is going to the mountain and wanting to, you know, I mean, it's just goes hand in hand. It's also kind of like the beach where there's like a signal that happens. And for a lot of people, this is Friday night where it's just, there's something clicks in your brain. And I think there's that, it's that getting off work on Friday, dopamine dump that you get, or like when I go to the beach and I come home from the beach and I'm all sandy and I'm hosing my feet off in the backyard and it's nice outside and I don't have a shirt on, I like to crack a beer. I mean, there's a bunch of those. So I go snowboarding with my kids and I'm getting a little older. So I don't last as long on the hill as they do. And so, you know, maybe we have lunch. We go all, you know, I like to get there first tracks, as they say. I like to get there when the mountain opens and then get as many runs in before people show up and then try to hit lunch a little bit before everybody else. So, eat the crowds. Then after lunch, I'm a little tired. And so I'll do a few more runs after then. And I'm automatically, I'm not as good. So, you know, I might not have fallen all day. And then after lunch, I'm just not, my turns aren't as crisp. My vision's not as good. I'm not like picking the line as well. And suddenly I dig an edge and I fall. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to get hurt. I don't, you know, I'm a little tired. And then it's that dopamine where you're like, you know what I could do? I could go sit by the fire and watch my kids do runs and have a couple IPAs in the sunshine, in the cool winter sunshine. And there is some kind of a hormone release associated with that for those of us that enjoy, that have conditioned ourselves to reward ourselves with something. You know, for me, it's a cold beer. For some people, it's a fucking Reese's peanut butter cup. For some people, it's sex. For some people, it's drugs. For some people, it's work or working out, lifting weights. You know, it's we all just kind of have these signals. And I, you know, this is bro science, but I also get it. Like, so we're going to change the clocks here pretty soon. I am a sufferer of seasonal affective disorder. So that sun goes down a little bit earlier. You know, it's like 4:30 and the sun is setting. I want like a hearty beer. I want a Pliny the Elder or, you know, something that's just, that says comfort, that, hey man, it's a little cooler than it's been lately and the sun's down, but it's 5 o'clock and maybe you should make a pot of chili and have 3 or 4 stone IPAs. You know, it's just, there is a brain system happening there, a hormonal response that a lot of us are subject to. And it's, you have to kind of fight against that if you want to. I mean, some people don't give a fuck. And I respect those people. Look, if I could drink 4 beers every night and be skinny, I would. And sleep through the night and have a job and just do everything normal. And the people that can do that, I respect the fuck out of you. I don't have those genetics. If I drink 3 beers, I feel like complete shit. You know, I sleep like shit. If I like go away for the weekend and I drink like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or just at home, you know, and it's something like especially exciting, I get crippling anxiety and it's hard to explain. People don't understand it. So I like to reset. And I typically reset around the first of the year, or I attempt it. And this year I was like, you know what? I'll just put it out there that this is what I'm going to do. Not expecting anybody to also want to do it, but I knew there was this challenge and I kicked it around with some people, you know, maybe like during the year, hey, you want to do 75 hard? And it's never a good time. Like everyone has a reason and I'm no different. There's always some reason that you can't do it. Oh, I got this. I got a wedding or fucking this bullshit or whatever. And, you know, you can't. But I always like to kind of clean up. I make it sound like I'm a fucking drug addict, but I think you guys get what I'm saying. I just like to start fresh at the beginning of the year. And I'm not like a resolution guy, or it's just a good time because there's so much to do starting at Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, you know, there's just a lot of reasons to drink alcohol if that's something you do at that time of the year. So I was like, maybe let's try this. And I threw it out to Ed thinking maybe it was something we could do for the show. And I get it. Like he knows that if he does a challenge like that, that he'll just drink more afterward and so it doesn't work for him. And that's no big deal. But I thought, you know, if I say it publicly, then I'm kind of more held to it. And if there's a challenge involved, like they say, if you want to get in shape, you know, if you want to stick to a workout program or running program, sign up for a 10K or a Spartan race. And then that's 3 months out. And then you're going to do all the stuff to get ready for it because there's something you have to do later. And so I was like, well, I'll just, you know, I'll throw it out there that I'm going to do this. And then it's like, people know that I'm doing it. And also it kind of helps if people know, because then they're like, less inclined to try to, you know, tempt you, or they go, oh, you know, I can't invite Brian to that. Or, I mean, you can do things and not drink, by the way, guys. I know it's like, that sounds confusing, and it's not all about drinking, but it's kind of about drinking. So it just, you know, just putting it out there is its own kind of accountability. So I was like, I'll just say it that I'm going to do this, and I'll offer it to Ed, and maybe we do it for the show. And Ed didn't want to do it, which is no big deal. So I'm like, but I'll do it. I didn't expect so many people in the audience to be like, oh, I'll do that too. Hey, what are the rules of that? When's it starting? I'm down. How do we all stay together on it? How do we all, I'm doing what I hate. I have this little fucking name tag thing here that's magnetic. And I'm sitting here fucking with it. And this is like the kind of shit Jay Stu does on The Bachelor Lifestyle. And I call him out for it. And here I am. I'm doing the thing. You'll hear him like fingering the label of his beer or something right in front of the microphone. And then I do the same thing that I curse people for. So, but anyway, so there has been some quite a bit of interest in people also wanting to participate. And I did the stereo after show last night, and I was talking to our dear friend Super Lee, Ben906, Guru Stu, and a bunch of other people that called in. Not Truth Honk. Truth Honk. I'm going to post that, but I have to bleep something out that because Truth Honk said something racist. Truth. Come on, buddy. You don't need to be outrageous like that. You're a good guy, though. So, I was talking about like what's a way that a place where we can, as a group, kind of talk about this and post pictures or whatever, or ask questions or tell people our plan for the 75 hard. And I was like, could we do like a Facebook group? I don't go. I mean, I have Facebook. I don't go on it. Occasionally I'll get an email. I don't know how it decides who to email you about, but they're like somebody that you didn't know you were friends with posted a fucking picture that we think you're interested in. And I'm like, and I always get suckered into it. I'm like, why the fuck would I care about something that somebody I worked with for 3 months, 20 years ago just posted? But I always click it. So that I'm on Facebook to that extent. And there is a Baller Lifestyle podcast group on Facebook, but it just seems so old timey. And so Ben906 was like, well, isn't there a Reddit? And we do have the Baller Lifestyle podcast Reddit. This is how dumb I am. I don't even know how to say it. r/the subreddit r/the Baller Lifestyle, which was set up by a listener called Mike Vick Did Nothing Wrong, who had to dip out of listening apparently because he was having family issues. I don't know how listening to a podcast affects that, but I wish him the best. So we do have the Reddit page. Are people on Reddit? Like I have the app and it's mostly just to look at porno pictures occasionally. Okay. I'm just, Hey, that's what I'm reporting. Look, that's real. I do that sometimes, not very often. So I don't know if you want to do it. If we do it on the Reddit, somebody suggested we all get on Strava, but not everybody's like, that's just like looking at what people did. I don't even know what it is. I kind of do. It's just like, oh, this person ran this far, walked this far, hiked or biked or whatever, swam. So I don't know if that connects us on the level that we want to be connected on. I like the Reddit idea, but what I'm saying is I'm open to group ideas. And then another idea, and this came from our buddy FanFan, and we're going to call FanFan in a second, because he was like, you should have people on to kind of like talk about, you know, what their goals are and what their fitness journey has been and will be, and just kind of like talk to people that are participating and get them involved and just, you know, hear from different voices, because everybody comes at stuff like this from a different place. And I thought that was a fucking really good idea. So he's going to be, I said, hey, I'll call you on Saturday. And he said, cool. So I'm going to call him in a minute. So that's kind of what I'm putting out there. You know, we're doing, again, if you're not aware, you know, not everybody's caught up, but we're starting a 75 hard challenge, or it's not really a challenge. We're just all going to try to do it. You know, we're all going to see if we can make it. And if you're not, it starts January 2nd. And everybody's like, why not the first? And because I just felt like because people go through, you know, people like to clean up. They'd like to do dry January. January 1st is a holiday and it's a Monday and there's football on. And I just wanted to make this as easy access as we could make it. And I thought starting January 2nd and going through March 16th, somebody check my math on that. I counted the days, but I could be wrong. Would be, you know, a good window of time to do it. So if you are interested, we would love your participation. Let us know. Just hit me on Twitter or Instagram or on the email mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com or leave us a voicemail 949-464-8257 and just kind of say, hey, I'm doing it too. And just, I want to find a place where everyone can be and kind of chat about this when they feel like it, or just look at what everyone else is doing and see what everyone else's plan is. And if you're not familiar, I'll just break down the rules of 75 hard. For 75 consecutive days, 75 hard participants must do the following every day. Follow a diet. Can be any diet that you choose, but it must be a structured eating plan with a goal of improvement. So you can't be like, I'm going on the Red Vines diet for a month. Or it could be anything. Carnivore, keto, South Beach, Weight Watchers. What are some Atkins? Just whatever it is. Like me, I'm pretty carb strategic, I guess. Like I'm try to eat mostly protein and I try to have only carbs on the days that I lift weights and around my workout. So some carbs before and some carbs after, and maybe even, you know, cause I'm trying to build muscle here. I'm trying to get jacked because I feel like this is my last chance and it's like, I've seen some gains. And so it's like, oh fuck yeah. I have to try to push more weight every week. So that's the place I'm at with eating, but I still am, you know, the weekends are tough. That's when I drink beer. And when you drink beer, you know, you go to the freezer and you eat 3 frozen dark chocolate peanut butter cups from Trader Joe's, you know, that's what you do. Or a half a pound of dried mangoes, which is like, even my doctor, doctors don't know shit about nutrition, by the way, but even my doctor was like, that's fine. And I'm like, no, it isn't. Not at the level, like a few bites. the lovely Jeannie Bueller, who some of you may know at I'm So For Serious, who's my better half, my partner. She's like, so she's just not tempted by anything. Like I'll walk in to the living room from the kitchen with a literal, like a softball size handful of dried mangoes. And she'll be like, can I have one of those? And I'm like, yeah. And I'll give her a piece. One. And I have like 60 in my hand. I give her one piece. And then I'm like, gnawing them. And I'm embarrassed that I'm eating so much. And I go, hey, do you want another one? And she's like, no, thanks. One? Who's ever had one of something? Not this guy. So anyway, so what I'm trying to say is I think my diet plan is just going to be like a firm no sugar. That's it. Because I already eat. I don't eat fucking bullshit. You know, I eat healthy food 99% of the time. And part of this is just not drinking, which is we'll get to. And I'm going to try to stay away from the sugar And that's, I'm going to stick to that 75 days. Second rule. So first, follow diet. Oh, hold on. Also, the diet must be a structured eating plan with the goal of physical improvement. No alcohol or meals outside your chosen diet are allowed. No alcohol. That's the thing, right? That's what keeps people away. But hey, that's your that's you got to do that. You got to deal with yourself there. Second rule, complete 2 45-minute workouts, one of which must be outdoors every day. And we talked about this because people live in middle places. That's not my fault. That's not my problem. But apparently there's something called sleet. Have you guys heard of this? I thought that was from the Bible. I swear to God. I thought it was one of the many, many myths of the Bible, like Noah being 600 years old and getting two of every fucking cockroach and rhinoceros on a boat. Remember, did you hear about that? You're buying that bullshit? I thought sleet went along with that. I thought that was just some made up shit. Turns out it's like frozen rain that's not quite frozen. Are you fucking kidding me? Move. You guys got to move. But look, and I know this isn't the letter of the law. Find a way. If it's a sleet day, you know, do an extra 45 on the treadmill with the fucking window open. I don't know. Just do it. Do it. Find a way that you can do it. And that if you're not sticking to the letter of the law, you're sticking to the as close as you can. And I get where this guy's coming from. Also, we're going to try to have the guy that created this, Andy Frazella, on the show. Thanks, Ben906. He sent me a link. And I get what he's going for. Fuck it. Your life is better if you spend some time outside. And not enough people do. So try to get outside. 2 45-minute workouts. And that could be an hour and a half walk. There's your 2 45-minute workouts. Just go for a walk. Low intensity, steady state cardio is the fucking key. And none of us do it enough. I got a big fat belly here. So I know I don't do it enough. Take a progress picture. You don't have to share that. That's the next thing. So follow diet, complete 2 45-minute workouts, take a progress picture. Every day, take a picture of yourself. That's just for you. Because, and Laura from Twitter, sorry, Laura, Rogue Bumblebee from Twitter, she called into the Stereo After Show and she heard us talking about that. And she's like, you got to take measurements, you know, measure your waistline and, you know, whatever else you're looking at, you know, your biceps, your quads, whatever you want to track. So you can really see your progress here. Cause it's not always or ever really that obvious when you look in the mirror. Because you see yourself every day. But if you take pictures, you notice. Like, take, for instance, any picture of my hairline before 2018. And you'll notice. You'll notice a difference. So that's just a good, you know, way to track your progress and keep you going. Drink a gallon of water every day. So I got this thing right here. It's 64 ounces. And somebody, Darb in the OC, was telling me that he was talking to somebody that's done hard 75 hard a couple times. And he was saying drinking the water is the hardest part. So this is, apparently this is half a gallon. On the days I go to the gym, I usually have finished one of these and then I refill it. And then I go to the gym and I drink the whole thing while I'm at the gym. So that's a gallon. I'm at a gallon by noon most days. So I think I got that covered, but you got to, you know, for some people, they're really going to have to force themselves to drink water, which is kind of the point. So you got to drink a gallon every day and then read 10 pages of a book. I believe it's supposed to be a nonfiction book. This just says book, but this is an article about the program, not the program. Read a book, 10 pages, 10 pages. You know, I read every night because it helps me sleep. So I'll sit on the couch and I'll watch TV with my lady and I start to get uncomfortable. I start to like get wiggly and then I realize it's because I'm tired and I have to go to bed. So I go upstairs and I shower. That's right. a shower, because that also helps me get to sleep. Take a nice shower, brush my teeth often in the shower, powder my bag, and then I turn a hard blowing fan on directly towards my body, and I lie on top of the covers and I read a book. But you know what? Honestly, very rare that I'll read 10 pages because I start to fall asleep after about two or three. So that's something I'm going to have to concentrate on, the 10 pages. I'm actually going to have to program into my day, maybe getting 5 pages at some point during the day. Maybe in the morning, get up a little bit earlier, make my coffee, read 5 pages. So, and people do that, you know, and it sounds weird, but this is, you know, this is the whole point of this. And we'll ask if we can get him on, Andy Frizzella, you know, oh, it says right here, you will be tempted to try to change things a little to suit you and your special lifestyle, writes Frizzella. But that right there is the root of every problem in your life. Powerful, right? No alterations to the program are allowed. If you miss any of your daily goals, your progress resets to day one. You got to start over. So, and no one's going to know except you. Apparently there's an app, but I don't know if the app is visible to everybody. We'll have to investigate that. That's why I've set this up 3 months out. You know, I want to like kind of build a consensus and get everybody on the same page. So that's what we're doing. January 2nd. Let me know. I'll take any thoughts you have, any ideas you have to build consensus as a group. But the original point of this this is just something I was going to do for myself. The fact that other people are interested in participating along with me is the great delight of my life. I couldn't be more honored that other people would go, "Hey, Brian, I heard you're doing that thing. I want to do it with you." And that's the way things happen, is you get a tribe together and you all row the same fucking direction. And that sounds like what we're doing. So all are welcome. If you don't make it, there is no judgment, but I'm here to support. I'm here to lean on you guys, and let's do something for 75 days. Sounds fantastic. I'm into it. One more thing, and then we're going to call. I'm just going to text him. Let him know I'm about to call him. Hold on. Okay, here. Call you in 5. I could cut this out, but I won't. Just before I started the show, so today is Saturday the 14th. That was the 15th. 14th. Just before the show, I got up this morning. I had some coffee, made some breakfast, checked my email. I went and picked up my daughter. We went to the gym. We lifted some weights. She coached me on some failings in my form. That was very helpful. It's always helpful to have a partner there that can just look at what you're doing, because especially with your meat, if you're me, that's why I'll never be good at golf. Because I'm such a fucking spaz. This is why my athletic career was lackluster. Okay. To say it, I'm a spaz, you know, like I'm a spaz. So I'll never be good at golf. Cause I do everything hard.
Ask the bitches.
I do everything hard. I can't help it. I'm a spaz. I'm tense. I fucking squeeze. I go fucking hard. And so I squeeze a fucking golf club hard, even though I'm trying not to. I'm specifically trying not to squeeze it hard, but I take it away soft and then I fucking go after it every time. And then it goes way to the right 98% of the time. Why? Because I'm spastic. So it helps to have somebody that can look at what you're doing, because I can't break it down in my head while it's happening. You know, it's like Michael Jordan. Game one of the 1992 NBA Finals against the Clyde Drexler, who was 60, and the Portland Trail Blazers. And Michael Jordan, I think, had like 36 points in the first half. He had like 6 3-pointers. That's the one where he's like, did the fucking hands upside down. Like what? Like palms up, like to Steve Snapper Jones. Like, what the fuck? I don't know why I'm playing so, because everything, like everyone else is playing their dicks off. And it's just like a real, just like whatever to him. Oh, I'm just going to walk down there and throw it in the hoop. And it just, everything slows down for guys like that. I ain't that guy. Everything speeds up for me. So it helps to have somebody there to kind of like break things down for you. And so that helped me today. Then but before I left, I watched it's the Rugby World Cup right now. You guys, I'm not the hugest rugby fan, mostly because I can't find it to watch. But so it's the World Cup right now. It's the quarterfinals. So this morning was Wales, the Welsh, and Argentina. And it was so fucking savage. It's the greatest game. I wish they would have had this when I was growing up, because it's a good game for a spaz like me. Pick up the ball, fucking start running, and when some guy annihilates you, either before he does it, flip it to the next guy, or just hold on to it for a second and push it behind you so someone else can pick it up and go. It is the fucking best game. So much better than American football. Because American football, what, is there fucking 8 seconds of action in the whole game? Hey, let's run a play. Then let's have 11 commercials, a timeout. We'll fucking challenge some bullshit for 15 minutes. We'll fucking look at the coaches for a while. Nothing ever happens in NFL football. Meanwhile, you're watching rugby. The game's 80 minutes, 2 40-minute halves. It never stops. The game does not stop. If there is occasionally, and there was one that I didn't understand today, and there's a bunch that I don't understand. I don't 100% know the rules, but it doesn't really matter because it's so fucking back and forth and it's so aggressive. At one point, oh yeah, this is what happened. At one point, there was a tackle, the Wales tackled a guy, and there was a couple guys tackling him. And while they were tackling him, another guy on Argentina got a running start, dropped his shoulder, and put it directly through one of the tackler's eye sockets. And the tackler was immediately concussed. And then the announcers were like, that's a penalty. And I didn't really have the sound up that loud. But when they do a review, they talk to the review guy, and the review guy talks to the referees, and you could hear them talk to each other. Now, this would have been a better story had I listened to what they were saying, because at first they were saying they were going to kick the guy out of the game that did the shoulder smash into the other guy's eye socket. He was bleeding from his nose afterward, by the way. But then they just decided, they're like, ah, no, it's bang, bang play. He's good. But then the guy who was concussed was forced to leave the game, and he was pissed about it. That's how good of a game it is. So it was back and forth. Argentina won. And then this afternoon, I just finished watching it before I came up here. My guys, the All Blacks, played Ireland. And that shit came down to the fucking last second. And it was back and forth. And these dudes were gassed. One guy, they said, was 104, one of the All Blacks defenders, or whatever they're called, the guys in the middle, linemen, basically. One guy was, they didn't see how tall he was, but they said he was 141 kilograms. That's 310 pounds. And they run up and down, they play the whole game. They don't go, oh, it's third down. This guy, he can't play on third down. He makes $11 million a year, but not on third down. We need a different guy that plays on third down. Fuck that. These guys play the whole game, and they run up and down the field. And at the end, Ireland was like pushing to fucking score. They almost scored, but one of the great New Zealand players, the greatest New Zealand player, well, there's a couple. Jonah Lomu, RIP. Dan Carter, of course, there's many. The greatest, the captain right now is this guy called Bowden Barrett. and he's been around a while, and he's a bad motherfucker. But Ireland went to score, and his brother, Jordy Barrett, tackled the guy via a fucking Darce choke, which is around. He got one arm around the neck and the other arm under his armpit, and fucking suplexed him into the ground 1 inch before he scored a touchdown or a try. And that saved the game. But then Ireland got the ball back, and they fucking battled down the field. And these guys were so fucking gassed, and they were still going. It's the best game in the world. I'm not doing a good job of describing it, but fuck American football. If there's rugby to be watched. Okay. Let's call our buddy Fan. Oh, wrong button. Fan.
What's up?
What's up, dude? How you doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good, buddy. Don't call me sir. So, hey, we need to break the story of Fan here, first of all. So it should be known, and it wasn't known to me for a long time, that Fan happens to be my oldest friend in the world. We've known each other since we were 10 years old. Is that correct?
1985.
Yeah.
I'm not that good at math. Yeah. So, I have a GED, so I don't really do math much.
I also have a GED. So we both have GEDs. So
thank
that's
God for
one
multiple
thing.
Choice.
Yeah. That's why we're from Costa Mesa. Like if you're from Costa Mesa, that's kind of how you go out. You know, you go to continuation school for a while, or you get D's. And you barely get your diploma, or you go take that GED. Like that's what we do in Costa Mesa. But
or you just don't go to school and you get kicked out.
Yes, exactly. That happens. You know,
there's options.
It was a different time. There was different rules back then. But you and I,
of course,
you and I, you're my oldest friend. We have a group of two guys, me, you, and our buddy Spence. And I know, I came to your elementary school when I was in fifth grade, and you guys already went there. So technically you guys know each other longer than me. Cause I think both of you went there since third grade, right? Or you went there since kindergarten, college.
I started there in kindergarten. Spence showed up, in 83 and, everything goes off space shuttle math.
Yeah.
So, two years less than the space shuttle. As when Spence showed up.
We were in class together when they showed that, when the Challenger exploded.
That's correct.
They shut that
TV off pretty quick.
We were watching it.
And yeah.
I also remember this is before I knew you, I was in kindergarten when Ronald Reagan was shot, and somebody came at, by our guy, John Hinckley, I might get a shirt, that when Ronald Reagan was shot, and someone came in and told my kindergarten teacher, and the kindergarten teacher told the class. Like, is that something you tell 6-year-olds?
Not typically, no. I wouldn't suggest it.
It's kind of weird. So you and I were
off topic for six-year-olds.
It was kind of weird. Yeah. Looking back. So you and I were in the same class. So but Spence wasn't in our class, but you already knew Spence. And then, you know, so I know Spence around as long as you, but technically I know you first because we were in the same class.
Yes, sir.
But many years ago, I started getting emails from someone called Fan. And Fan was obsessed with listener, first Red Circle subscriber, first Patreon, great friend of the show, Dolomite D. Fan was obsessed with Dolomite D's story about the time he was having relations with a girl and he ejaculated and his semen came out of her nose. And I don't believe that story, first of all. I don't believe that story. But this guy Fan was emailing my show. And he's like, you got to do a whole show about this. You got to fucking talk about this. Do you remember this? Of course you do.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I mean, regardless if it's a true story or not, it's a great story.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
And occasionally I would talk to you and you would like mention, you would talk to me, you'd listen to the show and you would talk to me about the show. And then this went on for quite a while, a couple years that I was getting emails from this guy, Fan. And then was it when I was at your house?
We were talking because we were, we'd been drinking all day. Yeah. And then we were talking and then I think I emailed you from the wrong fucking account and blew my cover.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, that's what happened. I emailed you from the wrong account and then
your business
blew
account.
My cover.
So that's
you called me up and you were shocked.
Is that what it was? Because I thought you just admitted it to me where you're like, dude, how did you not know that? And I'm like, how would I have known?
Well, once you found out, I was like, how did you not know? Because I mean, one, I never spelled anything right. Yeah. My grammar was awful. My spelling was awful. Yes. And then the shit that I said was straight up of what I would say.
Yes. I mean, looking back, because you're like, how could you have not known it was me? Because both Fan and me are illiterate. And I'm like, okay, yeah, fair. That's something exactly. I should have noticed. Yeah. And he goes, and then when I would talk to you, I would also mention, hey, you should do a show about that. And you thought I should have put those things together. And in retrospect, maybe I should have. But I didn't. And this went on for a couple of years. I didn't realize it was you. I don't remember the part where you sent something from the wrong email, but I believe you. I believe that's what happened. And then it came out that it's my oldest friend in the world is pretending to be a fan of the show called Fan. So it was a delightful surprise, but just one of the more shocking things that's ever happened to me, I would have to say.
Yeah, well, I didn't want any special treatment, and I was in your, I was in your world. Yeah. So, and I just wanted to be a regular person.
Yes.
So,
well, I love that. I appreciate it. I appreciate you being involved. Of course. What's something that happened to us? What's a story that you remember from our childhood that you would like to tell the audience right now? I know I haven't prepped you for this, so. If you haven't thought of anything, but
I think you've already probably told the majority of the stories, which is kind of I always get a chuckle out of it. The Mr. Jacober story, the omelet story.
Oh yeah, because so Mr. Jacober was our sixth grade teacher, and we could talk about this because I doubt he lived till we graduated eighth grade. So he was pretty old at the time in sixth grade, but he missed a big portion of the year because he had prostate cancer. And then he came back to school. And then it was around sex ed time. And he, for some reason, the guy was 87 years old. He wore the same checkered pants and striped shirt pretty much every day.
Every day.
He smoked all of the fucking cigarettes, and he had a beard, and his whole, it was all yellow around his mustache and lower beard from the cigarettes. And he sounded like he smoked cigarettes, and he was doing sex ed, and the guy was so clueless. And you would ask him random questions like, what's a dildo? What's a vibrator? How do you, like, you would just raise your hand and ask like these outrageous, we were in sixth grade, and you would ask these outrageous questions, and he would just answer them straight up. Well, that vibrator is a sex toy. Like, but then he described his prostate surgery in detail to us. And he said, and I will remember it vividly for the rest of my life. He said he got an incision between his penis or his scrotum and his anus.
Yeah, his penis and his rectum.
Yes, he said his rectum. And you keyed in on that, and you're like, excuse me, Mr. Jacober, what? You're like, where did you get that surgery? And he's like, between my penis and my anus. And then he'd go on and he'd continue talking about the prostate and how it worked. And he'd raise your hand again. He must have done it like five times where you're like, Mr. Jacober, Hold on. But when you were talking before, where exactly did you have your surgery?
Between my penis and my anus. And he would say it anyway.
We would try to get him to point towards it.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, where is that? Yeah. R.I.P. Mr. Jacober. He also had he also drove a Ford LTD that was like rust color. And you would always ask him what color his car was, and he would say bronze. And you'd be like, hey, Mr. Jacober, is your car like what? I mean, you were really, this is the kind of shit I do to my girlfriend's 5-year-old to just amuse myself, except he was 80. And he'd be like, hey, Mr. Jacober, what color is your car? Is it purple? And he'd be like, no, bronze. And you would do it like 20 times a day. And he would continue with the no bronze the whole time. Did you get kicked out of that class?
I believe my desk was moved towards the door so I could look out the door and watch birds and shit fly by, because my academics was not the first thing that I thought of when I was at school. So typically my mind was outside, or we would sneak out of his class and go play pinball a couple rounds over at 7-Eleven, grab some Jolly Ranchers.
That's right.
And then just come back in the, you know, because that's normal when you see sixth graders just walking down the road to 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Play a couple games of pinball and then come back about an hour and a half later and not even be caught, or, you know, not be missing or anything.
Kids these days, they don't, like, they think stealing is wrong. And when we grew up, stealing is like something you did on a Saturday. Like, let's go steal some shit.
Stealing is like fitness is to me today. It's just a way of life.
Yes. Yes. So. And was it because our parents didn't give us any money? Like,
oh, the 80s. They didn't have any money. Yeah, even if they did, they certainly weren't giving it to us. Yeah.
They didn't give us any money. So we would just, look, I'm not going to make too many details here, but we were like professional thieves, and it was, you know, it was every kind of thieving that you could do. We just destroyed shit. Like, we would just go, hey, you want to go like break some stuff? Yeah, let's go destroy people's property today. All right, that'll be fun.
It wasn't like we were the only crew that did that.
No,
I mean, everybody back in that time frame was doing the same thing. And then you would go back to school and find out that people are doing the exact same thing that you were, all just on the other side of the street. And you were like, whoa, whoa. Yes. Like, can you do that too? I
know. No, it was all of us. We were horrible. You also were you were in my group. It was me. It was you. It was our buddy Lance and our dear, dear, dear departed friend, Mike J. We were in a group.
RIP, homie.
RIP. He was a great guy. We were in the same group. This was freshman year, I believe, because you moved away sophomore year or freshman year.
Sophomore summer.
Sophomore summer. That's what it was. Yeah. Freshman year. So was it? Yeah, it was freshman year. Because I got
freshman year.
I got kicked out sophomore year. So freshman year, we were in the same home ec class.
Oh yeah.
And we made that omelet.
We did make the omelet.
And Ed Daly likes to say he retells the story that we ejaculated in that omelet, and we didn't. We were, I don't know if we went, cause it was after lunch, I think, that class. And
because we were not sober.
No, we had gone, and we had, Lance was, and probably still is, I haven't talked to him in a while, a masterful joint roller. And,
correct.
And so we had gone and we had smoked a big old fat doob, I believe, at T. Winkle Park, which was behind our high school. And then we came back and we went to home ec and we made that omelet, and we were like, she was telling us how to do it. And I make omelets all the time now, but when I was 14, I didn't really have the fucking skills. I'd never made an omelet.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by
buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
And she's like, yeah, you mix the eggs, then you got to flip it over. And we're like, this is going to be a mess. Because we had fucked up other stuff that we were trying to cook in that class.
We had fucked up 100% of everything up into that omelet.
Yeah. Yeah. In home ec and everywhere else. And so we're making that omelet and we got all the eggs in the pan. And then we all were just kind of, I don't know how, it was probably Mike J's idea or yours. But you're like,
well, we all had severe cotton mouth.
We all did. And the teacher tasted everybody's food. And look, guys, I'm not proud of this, but I'm proud enough to tell the story. Because we all hawked loogies in that omelet, didn't we? There was four of us.
All four of us. All and then even I think Lance, if I'm not mistaken, was doing the spit trick.
Yeah.
You dangle it, then suck it back up.
Yes. A couple times. Yes. And then,
cut it loose.
Yeah. 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 But Lance was a pretty good cook.
He was.
And so we made this cheese omelet, and then it all came down to the flip, and the teacher, she really built up the flip. And Lance flipped that omelet, and it looked like it came out of Jacques Pepin's kitchen. Like
it was perfect.
It looked like the most master French chef had created this beautiful, fluffy item. And we plated that thing, and we all kind of looked at each other, and we're all so fucking high, and we're like, that looks pretty good. And it was not even a question. Because we cut that thing in four slices and we all ate a chunk of it and we didn't regret it one bit.
No, we did have a small discussion about how it evaporated.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not really eating our own spit. Yes. We had convinced ourselves that the spit evaporated and it was just eggs. And so we all chowed it and then we did just give her like the end, which the spit probably was an end.
Ed,
calm down.
Yeah, we talked.
Take it easy.
We talked ourselves into that. That's right.
Yeah, but then we ate the best part of it. We were not going to give the middle of that thick cheese center away. It was like, we'll cut her off the end piece.
Oh, that was amazing. That was so good. So,
what about the drunk? The drunk substitute teacher that came in and threw flour all over the place.
Mr. Allen? I wasn't in that class.
That was in home ec. That was the same class.
It was, but I must have gotten kicked out or something because I do remember that happening. The police had to come and escort him off the campus because Mr. Allen.
He was literally hammered. I mean, he was throwing just handfuls of flour at the wall before he picked up the bag of flour. just exploded it on the wall, and all of us ninth graders just like, he's gonna kill one of us.
I was in that class. Maybe I ditched that day or something. Because
or we just probably burned two at lunch and you just forgot.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened.
No, I remember that day and I remember it happening, but I wasn't in the class when the police came and escorted Mr. Allen off campus.
Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, you didn't have any problems with the ladies, so you could have taken off to handle your business real quick. We could have covered for you while you were gone.
I don't know if that's true.
That type of shit did happen.
I think you're just being nice right now. So you were telling me, and look, you've got a how so let's start from the beginning. How did you get involved with doing triathlons, and how did you decide that you were going to do an Ironman?
We were at a buddy of mine's house, and he's in the Army, you know, one of those guys that he deployed several times, and you could tell he had some demons in the closet, to say it one way.
Sure.
And anyway, so he actually, you know, we became pretty good friends. He moved close to me, and I've never really had a friend in my subdivision that I lived in, so we hung out quite a bit and just would do stuff. And since he came on, he's an officer, and he was won some kind of deal where he was able to leave the military for 2 years, get his master's degree, and then go back into the military and just serve like 2 additional years. So anyways, when he was doing that, because he was always operating so much, he wanted to fill in that time because he was just always so busy. He just didn't know what to do with his time going to college. It wasn't enough for him just to go to college. He had to do something more. So he started doing these training for these Ironmans, he always wanted to do.
Sort of to occupy his mind as somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
That and then had also been probably in combat quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, he did several tours, and then I think he did 3 back-to-back tours in Syria or something like that. Yeah. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
So anyways, he was headed out to Florida to do the Florida Ironman, and we were all in the backyard, and we were just, I mean, shit-faced drunk. Yep.
I've hung out with you guys together.
And for you know, a bunch of veterans just sitting around lying to each other, but
yep.
I don't think he was lying. I was lying, but and also Ed's talking about bringing lighter fluid to a fire. That's not what we do. It's gasoline, but anyways, I had lit myself on fire and probably had second degree burns, and we were kicking back laughing, and he was telling us how his family had COVID or something, and they couldn't come out to support him for this race. So he was asking me to come out, and I was like, fuck, I don't leave Texas, man. I mean, it's not my deal.
It's a pretty big state.
Yeah. It's a big state, but I also, there's just certain things that I have to have next to me.
Yeah.
And when you fly, you can't bring certain things with you. So
yeah, weed. You're talking about weed.
Weed and other things too. But anyways, it's just out of my comfort zone. I like to feel safe, mm-hmm. and I don't like going into the airport where people can take your freedom from you. It's just one of those things. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but yeah, I'm a weirdo.
That's fair.
Anyways, I was like, dude, you know, we're friends, but we ain't like that.
Yeah.
And then he looked at me and fucking kind of leaned in on it. It was like, I asked you for your help. And I was like, motherfucker.
God damn.
That's heavy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I looked at my brother-in-law. I was like, we're going to fucking Florida. So anyways, we get out there to Florida and get them all set up and everything like that. We go out, wake up in the morning, and it's like 34 degrees. The winds are like 20 to 30 miles an hour. Just crazy. I mean, there's rip tides and all sorts of shit. And we're just sitting there, like I'm sitting there and I'm in, you know, thick socks and shoes and thermals and pants and a jacket. And I'm just kind of sitting there watching all the pros take off. I had my cup of coffee, my beanie on and all that stuff. And, I heard this, like after the pros, pro males go out 5 minutes later, pro females go out, and then the folks with the disabilities. And I hear this, like, get me in the fucking water. I was like, what is that? So I walk over to the side, and I see this dude. He's sitting in this wheelchair. It's for the beach. It's got inflated, like big inflated tires, so you could push it through the sand and stuff like that. He's a double amputee. Shit, above the knees.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there, and his upper body's just massive. And, to tell the whole story, he's black, he's African American, and he's double amputee above the knee. So you don't see a lot of African American triathletes, which is kind of an anomaly.
Yep.
And then also you see very few people with amputees above the knee.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I'm just sitting here just watching this guy, and he's just punching himself in the side of the head, screaming, let me in the fucking water, and immediately because
he's so fired up. He's like so
he's fired.
He needs to get going. Yeah.
He is fucking juiced and just crocodile tears just start falling down. The energy I feel from this guy immediately goes in. And I mean, I'm at one of those places in my life. I'm not really, my emotions are tools, man. I don't care if I cry. I don't really like whatever, dude. I mean, it is what it is, but it's one of those things where he just grabbed me. And then it was just insane. The guy, they were trying, the volunteers were trying to push him through the sand, and the wheelchair wouldn't go. So he's just like, knock me the fuck over, knock me the fuck over. So he literally just like pushed the wheelchair over. This dude falls into the sand, just sticks both of his fists into the ground and just starts hopping into this water. And again, remember, it's like 30 something, just above freezing.
Yeah.
This dude's in a bikini bottom.
Yep.
You know, no wetsuit.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Oh, yeah, because you're not allowed, like, certain, right?
Well, no, you can wear a wetsuit, but I just, he didn't have one on.
Yeah, okay.
And he got in the water and just took off. And I just knew right there, I was like, I have to fucking do this. Like, this guy, he changed my life.
Yeah.
He changed everything about it. You know, I mean, after that point, we were on the way home and my buddy looked over at me and I was driving him back home and he's like, you ready to go? And I was like, fuck, sign me up. And I signed up for Galveston in 2021 with no bike. I couldn't swim 50 yards. You know, I had a pair of running shoes somewhere, but didn't really have shit.
Yeah.
And, I was just like, I have to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just one of those things where, I found the passion, started with the foundation of just signing up and saying, hey, I'm going to do this, and kind of built everything from there.
And you,
that's kind of how the whole thing started.
You were an in shape guy. You were a CrossFitter. You had worked out a lot. You were a strong dude, but you weren't a fucking runner. You couldn't swim. You couldn't, like, you didn't have the skills to do a triathlon or the fitness.
I was a runner. I mean, I was in the service. I could run a sub 5 mile, but, but no, at that point I was smoking, drinking, I mean, partying every weekend. I mean, you know, 18 pack on Friday night, case of beer on Saturday. Just getting hammered. I mean, just so me, but when, at that point I could probably run a 12 minute mile. It was, that was, I could get in shape within 6 months, but I was in pretty poor shape at that time.
And it was just, and you started out, you did marathons first, right?
Yeah, I've done all sorts of different, I did one sprint triathlon, which I really don't count. I've done a few marathons, and then of course, like the Baton Death Road March, which is the marathon of marathons. That's a 26.2 mile marathon with a 40 pound backpack plus a gallon of water, which is 8.75 pounds plus. You have to have some kind of canister inside there, so you can get up to four, you know, close to 50 pounds depending on how much you bring with you. But that's a wild one. That's a painful one.
Yeah, isn't that, and that's on dirt, right? Like, that's
you're up in New Mexico in white sand. You know, Pat Garrett's house, the old dude,
Billy the Kid.
Garrett, you pass by Pat Garrett's house. He's not there anymore, of course. But
he shot Billy the Kid.
Yeah, but plus he would be like, I don't know, 200 years old or something that.
Yeah, I don't think he survived.
But, I don't think he's still there.
Yeah.
But his legend is, which is kind of cool when you go by this house.
It is pretty badass.
But anyways, so I've done stuff like that, but nothing this insane, no.
Yeah. And did you, is it because of your mental condition that you just, once you said, I'm going to do that, once you saw a guy with no legs do?
Well, I mean, I think there was a buildup to it. I mean, life is a process. And I mean, even like listening to your podcast through the starting where, you know, 10 years ago, you're like, hey, this is where commercials would be. Now you got commercials.
Yeah.
But I mean, even listening, even being a good friend of yours, but take that out of it, just listening to the podcast itself. I mean, you know me, dude, I've always been fiery, dude, edgy.
Yeah. Yeah. You have ADHD. Like, I've never seen you sit down.
Yeah, no, I do. I definitely have that.
I've known you for 40 years nearly.
Yeah.
And you've never sat, I mean, you've sat on a few bar stools, but not for a very long time. Like you're a guy that's always moving. That's why you can eat fucking 7 cheeseburgers and not have any body fat on you. You're just, you have
not
that
anymore.
Gene.
Come on. Yeah.
You have that gene where you're kind of like always going. And to me, like if before you even did that stuff, if somebody came to me and said, who do you know that's a friend of yours that could do triathlon, an Ironman triathlon, I would have always said you, because you just have that mental gear. You've always had it where if something needs to be done, you're the guy that I know can do that thing no matter what the fucking thing is, because you just don't stop. You start and you see the finish line and you just go towards it. So it's not surprising to me that you've been able to accomplish these physical challenges that you asked of yourself. It's not surprising to me at all. I just wonder what it's like to be in your head and what the doubts are that you have and how you push through them.
Well, I mean, I like I said, I think it's a process. I mean,
yeah.
If you go back to like me listening to your podcast, you know, even as simple as like something like what's the guy that used to call in and always beat up on the homeless?
Manuel,
there you go.
Manuel. Huh? Manuel, you pretending you don't know who the fuck Manuel is? This guy's a legend.
You know my brain, man. It's here nor there.
Yeah.
But like, you know, when you talk about him, you know, you talking, you call in about homeless people and just really beat up on shit. And then you would kind of give your opinion on that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd sit there one day and Austin's got a pretty big homeless community and you see somebody trying to eat out of a trash can. It's like, no, man, that shit ain't going to happen, dude. Go buy him a sandwich or something like that. So, I mean,
that's a human being. He didn't come out of his mom's pussy and go, I want to eat out of the trash for the rest of my life.
Exactly. But I mean, to be honest with you, that's probably one of the first things that I really was like, whoa, wait a minute. And it really changed my mood towards life, like really draw back. And I just started listening to the show and kind of just getting a different perspective of life from someone else's opinion.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I started to realize, that the opinion that I had didn't mean shit. So when someone would offend me, I would think like, oh God, I got to enforce my fucking opinion on this situation and really make these people understand that I had no better than them, when it's like, I don't know shit.
Yeah.
And so when you kind of start to take your mind away from things, to answer your question, it's much easier to focus, because when you're in that swim or you're in that bike ride or you're in that run, you can unfocus on pain. You can unfocus on things, and you start to really just turn those things off. I mean, you want to recognize it. You want to, my foot hurts, whatever. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. Thanks. Yeah. Have a good day. We're going to run this. And so, it's just really a matter of setting your mind up for success and just not paying attention to things that don't fucking matter.
Yeah.
And really, at the end of the day, my opinion doesn't matter. I mean, I really don't, I mean, I do have certain opinions on some things. I mean, come on, we all do.
Yep.
But at the same time, I mean, there's just some things that it really doesn't make a difference. It just doesn't make a difference. Yeah. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah. I mean, that's so powerful, because those are the teachings of the Buddha, right? Like that's what you're saying, is that everything is a temporary situation. So if you feel like shit, you just acknowledge that you feel like shit, and you know you're not going to feel like shit because it's just forever. It's just a feeling. It's just a state that you're in.
It's just,
It's something that's happening in your brain. Your brain is telling you you feel like shit. You don't have to listen to what your brain is saying. Yeah, you can continue doing what you're doing. And eventually you will not feel like shit anymore. You acknowledge the thing and you just keep going.
Yep. That's exactly right. And it's amazing how fast the pain will go away. Yeah. And it's just, and you'll be able to go back to refocusing on what's truly important. And, you know, I use that mind frame in a lot of different things in my life. And, you know, it's about quality, man. And that's, you know, I think that's that quality that you give people, the quality of entertainment. That's why I've always tried to support you, but I wanted to support you away from me supporting you and, you know, just come up with somebody that was a fan of you, a fan of the show, or fan of the fan, excuse me. It's, I don't know, man. It's just, I really appreciate everything that you do, everything that Ed does.
Yes.
It's coming out there, showing up every single week,
making
these podcasts, you know, when life does suck, I can always rely on at least 90 minutes of good entertainment every single week. And to be honest with you, it's helpful to me and I do appreciate it.
Yes. I like that. I like that my podcast, I like that you give credit to my podcast where I make fun of people for being fat, for giving you the strength to do 140 mile races.
140.6
Yes.
Actually, but
plus, yeah, I left out 0.6.
It's that last 0.6 that you really get me through.
I bet. thank you, or you're welcome for me giving you the strength to do that. I really appreciate it.
Oh yeah, and I mean same thing with Ed. I mean, Ed's out there riding his bike. Be careful, Ed, don't fall off your bike. You know, I mean, you guys, I mean, shit, dude, when all that shit happened with COVID, and you guys just kept trucking along. I mean, you know, I mean, shit. What did you squat 2 weeks ago?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
You do fucking
it's
know.
In the
come
forms.
On, dude.
It's four plates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, come on, dude, I've never done that. So fucking don't sit there and act. Don't fucking hype me up.
You're stronger than I'll ever be. Like we just have different body shapes.
Not even close. Dude. Yeah, I fucking hurt my back. I squat 135 pounds. Like
but that's because you got a long body. You got long femurs and shit. You know, like I got a short fucking squatty body. I try to run, dude. I tell you, my knee is fucked up right now. I'm gonna try the fan philosophy of just fucking acknowledging it and moving on. But sometimes I run and I'm. Next thing I know, I'm like, this kind of hurts. I'll just keep going. And then I'll keep going. I'm like, fuck, I ran through it. And then 2 minutes later, I'm walking. And I'm like, how did I start walking? Like, I was running a second ago. What happened? And I don't even know. I don't even make a decision. I'm not even, and this is Buddhism again. This is the teachings of the Buddha. I'm not in touch with myself enough to have a conscious thought that I decide to stop running. My body just stops. And so that's something I could work on, is getting in touch and being completely in the moment, because I like to daydream. Like I'm running, and say maybe the greatest heavy metal, arguably the greatest heavy metal song of all time, Creeping Death by Metallica comes on. I'm running and I think I'm in Metallica. Like I'm in the band. Like I'm on stage and I'm feeling that. And that's the place my mind is. I'm not running. I'm on stage with Metallica. And then the next thing you know, I'm walking. I need to get out. You run. You don't even use headphones, right?
No, dude, my coach. And if I can give him a spot.
Of course. Tell him. So what's his name?
Harold Wilson with Brains and Brawn.
Yeah.
Coaching out of Austin.
Yep.
It's hilarious. When I first hired him as my coach, he was asking me what software I use for my trainer for my bike. And he's like, oh, you like to play fucking video games? You don't like to train? And I was like, then he's like, we don't listen to music. We don't do it. You know, it's discipline with intent.
Yeah.
you know, you have to have the discipline to show up, but then you've got to have the intent. So the problem with listening to music is you're more focused on being in a band than you are running and listening to your body.
Yeah.
And so if your knee's hurting, maybe you should listen to your knee, because if it's hurting, I mean, understand that, like in the book, Fit Soul, Fit Body, by Mark Allen and
Triathlete, right? He's a, he's an Ironman champion multiple time, right?
Six time multiple world, six That's time. Decent. But you know, when you walk, the average person, whether they walk or run, will burn 100 calories in that mile. So the thing about when you run, it's not like you're doing more fitness, you're just getting to that 100 calories faster. So by you walking with a weighted vest, I mean, you could be doing as much. I mean, you could be doing just as much as I do running. I mean, it doesn't make a difference how you do it.
Yeah.
You just want to kind of set out to do it. So if you walk 2 miles and run one, you're still burning 300 calories. Or if you run three, you're still burning 300 calories. Of course, that depends on whether or not you're running hills, what the outside temperature is, blah, blah, blah.
Temperature
blah.
Makes a big difference.
It's huge, and humidity and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But you need to do what's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously, because I love you.
Yeah, I love you too.
Dude, Ben, squatting 400 something pounds when you're at the threshold of 50.
Yeah.
Probably why your knees are hurting. I mean, that's a lot of freaking weight.
It is. Well, I try to sit back into my hips now more when I squat, though, because there's like, I do have a click in my knee. And, but I mean, I think that's more from, it's everything. It's being old is what it is.
It is. Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, you don't want to overdo it, and that's why, of course, you backed off and you're starting to do it. But there's nothing wrong with walking. I mean, I see people walk in the neighborhood all the time, like, you know, you're always running. It's like, dude, yes, I am, but this is the deal. And I said, I stopped my time, and I explained to him, like, you're doing just as much work as I am.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing is, you know, knowledge is power, man. And when you start to learn these things, and learn what your body's telling you and follow it. Cause you know, typically our coach will tell us if you're sick or don't feel good above the neck, give it a day, and see if you feel better. Because, you know, when you start to get like, I had a long workout today.
Mm-hmm. Tell us what you did. What'd you do today?
I ran 22 miles.
What's the temperature in Austin, Texas today?
Oh, it was beautiful, man.
Mid-70s.
And then, of course, we had some kind of crazy eclipse or something like that.
Oh, but, I saw that.
It was all messing my sunglasses up, but.
Yeah. So you ran 22 miles.
High 60s.
Oh, that's something nice. Like that, high 60s. That's perfect temperature to run 22 miles.
Mid-70s. Oh, it's perfect,
So you ran 22 miles today, and you didn't feel good above the head, or you did?
Oh, it's fine. But if you're above the head, you want to. You want to take a day off. If it's below the head, you want to take a couple days off. If your knee's bugging you, you're going to want to ice it. You're going to want to stretch it. You're going to want to cut your workouts down to 50%. And then your effort down to 50%, stay in that zone one level.
Mm-hmm.
There's just certain things that you want to do because you don't want to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
When you're going through these exercises, because you're just gonna set, it's not even that you're old, you're gonna set yourself back. I mean, same thing like in the swimming pool.
Yeah,
if you swim less than 3 days a week, you're gonna regress. You're gonna go backwards. So you have to get at least 3 days a week in the pool, if not four, if you want to progress. And really, 3 days is just to kind of stay at par.
Yeah, I mean, I can't swim. Like I can.
Anybody can swim.
I can body surf and stuff, and like I can go in a pool and not die, but I can't, like, I don't know the technique. Like, I don't know how to swim. Well, I mean, I kind of do.
That's why I hired the coach.
Yeah. The guy that will let you use headphones. Yeah. I'm going to try to run without headphones. As soon as my knee feels better, I'm going to attack that, because I think there is something to that. It's the whole.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting back to.
Yeah, sorry.
You have to want to be there.
Yeah.
And when you're in, you know, what's funny, I had like a 15 or 18 mile run right after we met because I was going right into a Waco Ironman, 70.3.
Yeah.
And he was like, no headphones. Like, fuck, dude. So it was like a Tuesday morning. I had to wake up like at 2:30 in the morning to get this done, so I still got all my work done that day.
That's at night. And, you woke up at night. 2:30 is the night.
Okay. If you want to pay $8 a month for a podcast, Jocko wakes up at 4. This guy woke up at 2:30.
Yeah, okay.
If you really need to hear that shit, like, wake up, fucking work out. Okay. Calm down. But anyways, it was hilarious because I was running and I was feeling it, man. I was in the group. It was a good day.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I hear this something running up from behind me. Had I had those fucking headphones on, I would not have heard that dog that dug out and was about to attack my ass.
Shut up.
And you know, it's like Kyle's dog, dude. I got fucking tree.
Yeah, so you did.
Imagine running climb like, a tree. Oh, fuck yeah, I did. No, that dog was going to kill me.
No,
oh, yeah.
What kind of dog was it? Big.
A fucking mean one.
Yeah.
did not want to give me kisses or hugs. So, you know, was it Drew and Phoenix?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I get it. Yeah, I totally get it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
That's why you should keep your dog in a fucking cage if it bites people. Or better, shoot it.
It should be said that you live with multiple dogs. That you are a dog lover.
I do. Oh yeah, yeah. I have a dog. But if a dog bites me, man, there's one thing that's gonna happen. Yeah. So anyway, let's keep moving this conversation along.
You're running with no headphones on. It paid dividends. Literally the first time you ever ran with no headphones on.
Correct.
Yeah.
It kind of made me wise to what was going on. But then the thing is, like, you know, you want to listen to your heart. You know, it's all about your heart rate.
Yeah.
It's all about listening to your body. And if you have your headphones on, like when you take your headphones off and you're running, you can really hear, like you could feel and hear your breathing. And the thing of it is, if you get that heart rate and you start breathing hard, all you're doing is taking several minutes, if not hours, off the back end of your workout.
Uh-huh.
So if you get up in there into zone three or VO2 max, you're not paying attention because you're pumped up listening to Metallica or something like that.
Yeah.
Dude, you're just peeling time off.
So someone like you that's going to do a race and the race is going to take 12 hours, hopefully less, but could take as long as 12 hours to complete. It's very important that you never let your heart rate get above a certain level, or it's going to be that much more difficult, if not impossible, to get to the end, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mark Allen would when he ran, he would, I think he said his heart rate, his fitness level in zone two is like 150 to 155, which is insane because like 1 to 140.
Yeah.
And he's clipping like sub sixes, 5:548.
Yeah, for
you know what I mean.
26.2 miles.
But he's just chilling. Like for him, it's just
he's breathing. You know, he's breathing through his nose.
Yeah,
and if
I was to run that fast, it would be a mile, probably maybe a mile and a half tops.
Yeah,
but my heart rate would probably be around 180.
Yeah,
which I would die after so long. Right. But it's just one of those things. That's what fitness is. Is progression. So over time, you know, my zone two could go up to 145 to where I could push it a little bit harder. But right now, the way my fitness is, and I didn't take care of myself for several years.
Yeah.
You know, that's about the best that I can do. And 140 miles is, you know, somewhere between 12 and a half to, if I'm lucky, 11 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's just a progression, man. I the first time I ever did a 70.3 race, you know, I was in the third lap at Galveston.
Yeah.
And I passed a guide who was guiding a blind and deaf lady who, I mean, obviously me being me started crying again as soon as I saw that person. Cause I just, I'm an emotional person.
Sure.
And I'm sitting here looking at this person and seeing what they're doing, and it just makes me feel like such a piece of shit that I ever gripe
right
about anything.
Yeah.
But it, I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know. There's just so much to being fit and getting to that progression that's so healthy for your mind, and then getting out there and testing it every now and again. So you can really, so you just feel like you get to cash in that paycheck, man. Like, I'm excited. I was telling Miss Fan last night, I'm ready. Like, I'm ready to cash the paycheck in. Yeah. You know, I got three more weeks going back to Florida where this whole thing started. And I mean, I would love to see the dude that changed my life, meet him, introduce myself, thank him. It would be just such a solid,
God, I hope that happens.
Solid. But that's why I work so hard, man. I mean, I was on that third lap. So think about that. The blind and deaf lady and that guide, they had outswam me, outrode the bike. And then ran two fucking laps. And here I am, perfectly healthy. I can see fucking junk, whatever, do whatever I fucking want to do.
Yeah.
And, I'm like, really? Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
You know, but I'm pumped for him. I'm like, dude, you know how hard she worked to get to that point.
Yeah.
And you just see, I don't know, man. There's just that's. I love fitness, man. And when you start talking about the hard 75, you know, I'm absolutely in with that. If you want to do that, man,
even though you want to drink on Owen spring break, you're gonna give that up.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I'll give it up. Yeah. I mean, the only thing. Well, you know, my son's in the military, so if he gets through this next course, but that'll be before January because he just classed up. So, I'll be able to have some beers with him prior to the start.
And look, I might not make it through 75 hard. I was just before I called you, I talked for.
Dude, you can't say that. You can't say that, dude. If you're gonna do it, you gotta have that passion.
That's what I was saying before I called you. You'll listen to this back. But before I called you, I was talking about how I just said it because I wanted the audience to know I was doing it, and just that would hold me accountable to just getting through it. You know, and just kind of setting up. And it's like you're talking about, it's like just incorporating more low intensity, steady state cardio into my day every day will get me there because I already drink the water. You know, I can read a little bit more, but it's the brain thing that you're talking about where you just have to be disciplined to get through these hoops that you put in your day every single day. And so when I brought it up to the audience, I was just saying it so people knew I was doing it, which would make it harder for me to quit because people know
that's why that's a great thing.
Yeah.
But now to do, and it's the same thing that I do with you when I talk about these things, is because once it becomes public information, you really don't want to embarrass yourself.
It's true. Yeah.
But I mean, at the same time, you're an athletic person. You grew up skateboarding. But come on, dude. Listen, neither one of us are Lance Armstrong because we both have two testicles.
Yeah.
But we can still represent who we are. I mean, you know, we all can't be professional athletes, but we could do the best that we can do. And if that's not good enough, then I mean, come on, dude. It's good enough for you.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
But I mean, and at the same time, I mean, you know, triathlon may not be your thing, but you've always lifted. Yeah. So, I mean, you can incorporate lifting at one of your 45 minutes and then get into some kind of endurance training the other 45 minutes. And you never know, man. I mean, those 75 days, you may find something that I found in triathlon that changes your life. Yeah. And, you know, you never know. You could end up doing some more, you know, longer distance walks. You can end up. I know you'll never go camping, but
power walking.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Dude.
You should never feel less.
I agree.
Because if somebody's squatting 1,000 pounds, you shouldn't be like, "Oh, I don't want to squat 1,000 pounds." Yeah. You should just do what the fuck you want to do, man.
I was actually talking to Jay Stu this week, and I always do. I know you're not on social media, but I always or oftentimes I'll make videos while I'm hiking, because just because I think of things to talk about while I'm out there. And he and his girlfriend do these insane hikes, and she's like, Jason, why I always see Brian hiking. Why doesn't he do like Half Dome or Mount Whitney, which is like the kind of hikes they do? Jason hiked Half Dome in Yosemite a few months ago, and
crazy.
I know. I mean, I think it took like 16 hours or something. It's the whole day. And yeah. He said he was laid out for like a month. Like he taxed his body to a level that his body needed like weeks to recover because it was so heavy.
Yeah. No, I mean, dude, that's what people don't even, I mean, it's all about sugar,
yeah,
salt, and water.
Yeah.
And that's really when you get into the, it, well, you can add that in there too, okay, for a fourth. Well, yeah, but you can, that could be your
releasing
salt.
Releasing it. Oh yeah. Okay.
That could, fair. But that fair. Could be, that could, yeah, definitely be your salt. So fair. Then you just don't have to take other forms of salt.
Yeah.
So you could just double smart. Down on smart. That. Right. Double yeah. down on that.
Yeah.
Gulp, gulp.
Yeah.
But that's why, that's what's so taxing about it is, you know, for me, if I do like today, I think it was like 2,400 calories or something like that.
Yep.
It said on my deal. I mean, if you go by the 100 deal, it should have been 2,200 calories.
Yep.
But you know, it's about pre-stocking the shelf and stocking while you're working out, yep, and not restocking the shelf. So you don't want to go do a 16-hour workout and be like, oh, if I can eat 30,000 calories now.
No.
You should have eaten probably around 500 to 600 calories of carbs, of good carbs like oatmeal, a bagel or something like
rice.
That. Or a couple different forms of carbs, because that's what's going to burn in that zone one, zone two. You're going to burn fat plus those carbs.
Yep.
And then you want to supplement as you're going more carbs, salt, and waters. Right. But those three things can get you through a 12-hour race pushing, you know, 120 to 150 beats per minute on your heart.
Yeah.
And I walked away. Like I walked away from an 140.6, and I thought for sure there was no way I was going to walk. I was trying to convince my wife to bring me a wheelchair. So I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I mean, yeah. I was like, fuck, I don't know what's going to happen.
But because you replenished.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I kept restocking the shelves, and that's what Jason probably.
Oh, that's a good point.
Failed to do, and yeah, that's like I did the first time I did the Baton Death Road March, did it off of water.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, on mile 19, my body quit functioning.
Yeah, because there was nothing in your muscles to keep them going.
Well, and the more water that you drink, right? Yeah. But the more water you drink, all you're doing is flushing all the shit out.
Yeah, the shit that you need.
Yeah. So and you're not replenishing that. So it's like that's the dumbest thing that you can do is just keep hammering water.
Yeah.
And not replenishing those other things. But that's kind of, and I think, you know, if you did start the hard 75, I think it'd be great to get maybe a couple different athletes or something in there, or a couple different people doing different things, and maybe have a discussion like this or something like that, just kind of bounce different ideas off different people and learn different things and find out, hey, this person's, you know, he does this sport or he does this or,
And you take a little bit from those people.
Yeah, and it's just, and then it's just something that everybody can kind of grasp onto. The people that want to get into fitness, it could be something for them to look forward to, and kind of help them get to start their goals and maybe change their life a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's very inspirational. So what I was going to say is, when I originally came up with this idea, it was just something I was saying just to like, so people could hear that I said I was going to do it. And like, so like it's dry October. So I'm not drinking in October right now. Right. And that's just for me. But
you're slamming
heroin. Yes. How'd you know?
No, was you're slamming bitches? Beers instead of drinking them?
No. That's exactly right. That's how I get around it. That was like the other day when you told me you had a beer, and I'm like, you've never had one beer, and you're like, well, I had one at a time.
five
in a row, one at a time. But it's just something I spoke into the world to just kind of let people know. So it's a mental, and you're talking a lot about the mental strength of things and being accountable to yourself. I speak it into the world. Because then if I feel like I want to drink, which I don't really, I know that people have heard that I said I'm not going to do that. And it's not that I'm going to let them down, but it's that I'm going to embarrass myself a little bit in that sense, that I said I was going to do something and I didn't do it. So that's the whole point of 75 hard. And now all these people have jumped on and they're going to do it too, which is beautiful because it's this whole accountability group. What I was going to say to you is that your bona fides are good. Like if you have a life event that comes up during it and you need to dip out and go have some beers with your son, you know, that's good by me. I'm not too worried about you.
Well, I mean, I'll follow the rules. My son will understand that. I mean, he's in a very strict environment as we speak. But so I mean, he would get it. And I mean, he's in the same type of scenario now. I mean, it's all about accountability. He can't drink either. So, but he'll be done and graduated by December 22nd. What I'm thinking.
That's awesome.
So I'll get hammered before the second.
Perfect. I'm just bummed that you're going to do this race in 3 weeks. And then I'm going to come to your house and visit you in Austin, Texas a couple weeks after that. And I'm just bummed that your kid is not going to be there for me to give $50 and send him to get us all Whataburger.
Yeah, can't. Well, fuck Whataburger first because we're owned by Chicago. We don't do Whataburger anymore.
Come on, Whataburger sucks. You know what I need? You know what we got to put on the board is Pete Terry's. I haven't had Pete Terry's, and everybody's telling me
they open up a Pete Terry's about. It's only like 3 minutes out my front gate, but it takes about 20 minutes to get to the front gate.
Your gate's 7 miles from your house. Okay, dude. Yeah. Let's wrap it up there. I got to tell you, dude, this was your idea. And I said this at the beginning of the show before you came on. You had the idea to just have some people on that want to do hard 75 hard with us and kind of like get their take on their fitness or their plan or whatever. And I thought it was a great idea. And I thought you were the perfect person to talk to about it because you have so much knowledge and so much experience in this place. And I don't want to cry. You're such a good dude. You're the best friend anyone could ever ask for. I so much appreciate having you in my life for this long. Oh my God, I'm so gay. I'm just stoked that we got to do this on my show. Thank you.
Oh, it's an honor, dude. And congratulations to you for 10 years, dude. I mean, you should be, Brian, you've done such a great job, dude. You've come so far since the beginning of your show, since Friday Facts, everything that you've done.
Got a lot better after like 290.
And you've done,
Oh, nothing. Yeah.
Come on, dude. Yeah. You don't take any credit for what you do, man. Yeah. And you honestly should. You do help people.
Yep.
You're funny. You're smart. You were always the smartest guy in the room, dude. as you got taken off to go to smart school, they put a fucking helmet on me and sent me with people that fucking didn't really speak English and said, put this helmet on because someone might fucking throw something at your head. And it was like, okay, go over in the corner and color, which was fine.
Yeah.
But you do a lot for people, man. And don't cut yourself short, dude. You never sell yourself short. Yeah. I mean, come on. You got to appreciate yourself and what you do, man. You do a good job. Yes. We appreciate you. We love you. Whatever you fucking need.
Yes.
I'm here for you.
Thanks, brother. We'll talk soon. Good luck in your race, and I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, man. I love you.
I love you too, man. See ya.
All right, peace. Bye.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.